The Dodgers lead the Giants by a half game in the West, but the Dodgers and the Giants play this evening. It should be a good one.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
Hey, it's a new week. Start out with a clean slate, you know what I mean? How many minutes did I screw it up? Hey, it's okay. You know, there's a big austerity thing going on at NBC. You know, they're trying to cut back on what they're spending. So they actually asked Jay Leno to go from $30 million a year to $20 million a year, which he agreed to. I mean, they said, keep your chin up. He tried that, and he fell over backwards.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
That's right. It's based on stuff. All right, let's do our Today in History and our birthdays and whatnot. Our flashback, according to the Tribune, our highlight, on August 20th in 1866, President Andrew Johnson formally declared the Civil War over months after fighting had stopped. Somebody had to say it. In 1972, the Watts Tax concert took place at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. No clue. In 1992, shortly after midnight, the Republican National Convention in Houston nominated President George H.W. Bush and Vice President Danforth Quayle. Our birthdays today. Rock singer Robert Plant is 64. TV weatherman Al Roker is 58 today. Rock singer Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit is 42. Actress-singer Demi Lovato is 20 today. Happy birthday to them, but to you mostly, especially, and completely if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Most smokehouse barbecues have been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has an enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Here's the news from CalCoastNews.com for Monday. A Paso Robles man charged with kidnapping his 16-year-old girlfriend, Eunice Serrato, pleaded not guilty on Thursday. Juan Manuel Salazar Jr., 19, was initially booked into jail after he was and Serrano turned themselves into agents at the U.S. border in San Diego on August 4th, a week after an Amber Alert was issued for the girl. On August 9th, Salazar was released from jail after charges were not filed against him. Shortly after his release, the Monterey County Court District Attorney's Office had Salazar arrested in Riverside County on suspicion of child abduction. Salazar is also suspected in the July 28th shooting deaths of Hector Reyes, 33, and Daniel Fraga, 35. Because of insufficient evidence, however, Salazar has not been charged with the murders of the two men found in the bathroom of Serrato's San Nardo home not long after he allegedly kidnapped her. His attorney officials told the Californian that there was a long pause there that shouldn't have been there. Salazar is scheduled to return to court today on Tuesday.
scheduled to return to court on Tuesday. A few days before Salazar and Serrato turned themselves in, deputies arrested Salazar's mother, Maria Aviles Rodriguez, of Paso Robles because of her alleged involvement in the kidnapping. Aviles Rodriguez is charged with kidnapping, child stealing, child endangerment, accessory after the fact, conspiracy to commit a crime, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That's got to be worth about 5,000 years. All right, other things that are happening on CalcosNews.com, as fast as my computer will let me do it. We have Californians like Obamacare, it says. It says that I believe it. Majority of Californians support the Affordable Care Act, but most of them don't believe the law will affect them very much. The most recent field poll shows 54% of registered voters favor the federal effort to overhaul health care and 37% oppose it. Conducted for the California Wellness Foundation, the poll found that many Californians remain uninsured in a heavily Democratic state, and support for the Obama administration's reform measure increased substantially among voters following U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling upholding the law. Poll's authors said that the work has a plus or minus margin of about 2.9%, an error margin. Let's just call it 3% and let it go. We're good with it. KYT and Cox Communications agreed to a short-term contract extension on Sunday that allowed the ABC affiliate, the local ABC affiliate, to remain on the air with just hours to spare. Because of the agreement, there was no service interruption when the existing agreement expired at midnight on Sunday. KYT manager and CEO of the station's parent company, Smith Media, Mitchell Grandos, has been in negotiations with Cox for about 5 weeks in an attempt to reach a new agreement. And happen again. Romaine lettuce samples from a Salinas farm had been found to be contaminated with E. coli, and a recall was voluntarily initiated by the producer of that lettuce on Sunday. Canadian food inspectors notified Tanimura and Antle producers. That's the name of it, Tanimura and Antle. Okay. Producers that a check of the vegetable had detected E. coli, a bacterium that can cause serious food poisoning. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration consulted in the recall. The recall is for lettuce that was shipped to Puerto Rico, Canada, and the following states: California, Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, New Mexico, Nevada, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, Washington. I think most of their concern with California is. The True Leaf Farms recall is limited to a single lot of its field fresh wrapped single head romaine that was available at a retail store starting August 2nd. No illnesses related to the lettuce has been reported, but officials identified the product as having a best buy date of August 19th. The lettuce is packaged in plastic bags with a UPC number. Holy, are you writing this down? I didn't think you were. UPC number of 027918-20314-9. But at least now you got the info. You got the full scoopster on that. So that's what's happening right now on CalcosNews.com. Don't forget that 24/7 you can consult CalcosNews.com and see what's going on. And in the upper right-hand corner, you can click on Talk is Cheap. And we stream 24/7 all day long, all night long, all day and all night, 24/7. So you can listen to KYNS by going to CalcosNews.com.
CalcosNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Hard, you ate too much. The cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. It's only as directed. Oh, what a relief.
What a relief. What's his name? Alka? Or was it Seltzer? What was that little guy's name there? Anyway, but I thought we'd go in the Wayback Machine there and test out a commercial from years ago. Thanks for joining me today. Bill Benica, Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. It's hard to know where to start today. It's just like there's so much. There's so much weirdness and things and stuff going on that it's like, hooky. The top of the news today was the state parks spent and hid funds while the parks idled. Agency tried to use up money fast to keep from returning to the state each year, documents show. So you know how if you have money left over in your budget, it disappears, then you don't get that money the next year. So they would do anything they could to spend. This whole state parks thing has turned out to be quite an amazing, terrible, and disgusting thing, quite frankly. More dishonesty, deceit, and weirdness going on. You have this Missouri Congressman, Todd Akin, who put his foot in his mouth and then decided to get it up to about the knee, near the thigh, by saying that, women have the ability to stop their bodies from becoming pregnant in the event that they're raped. I checked it out. 32,000 rapes result in pregnancies. So this was an abortion issue. Was, you know, you shouldn't take it out on the kid. You should take it out on the guy that did the rape. Well, you should surely do that. But 32,000 women get pregnant in this country due to rape every year. Did he think that was a small number? I mean, I don't know how people think. In Washington, 32,000 probably is a small number. Anyhow, so people have asked for him, told him he should step down and all that. And he goes, and so I always love this, but I'm not a quitter. Well, okay. There you go, then. Okay. Roger Clemens is now playing for not even a minor league team. It's like the San Luis Blues. It's kind of like that, a team back in the East. Anyway, but so he wants to pitch again. And so he, interesting, he was eligible this year. He would have been eligible this year to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame and the Pharmacology Hall of Fame. But now he may have to wait five years because he's playing again. He's 50 years old. How much can you throw a ball when you're 50 years old? I ask you right there. Then this, I don't, you know, when we get to this point, you know, and this is the point we've come to, and it's really too bad because what we're seeing more and more across the entire spectrum of the Middle East is Al-Qaeda's increased presence in so many different countries, and the Taliban. And so you say to yourself, well, if it's getting worse, does that mean it's time to bail out? Well, there's nothing you can do about the fact that people that are in the Afghan uniforms, be they police or soldiers, are shooting our people. I mean, what is it you do? So they sent some general mucky-muck guy over there and said, here, see what you can figure out with this, which I don't see in a million years what he could possibly figure out. But anyway, that's what he's over trying to do now. I think when the people that are your allies and the people you're trying to help, we'll call those friends, stop being your friends, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's time to say goodbye. It's been 10 years. You know, even the Soviet Union didn't make fools out of themselves for 10 years. The whole thing was done wrong from the get-go, and there was no. And once we got involved in Iraq, and then had to go back into Afghanistan, there was no way to fix it. You know, it just was. It was a loss right there. It's too bad. Didn't have to be, but that's what it was. But these are political decisions that are made, and this is what happens. We had another one of these things. You know, I don't want to get persnickety about this, but I just want you to know something because it just I get so, but it's not going to change anything. There was an editorial that was either in Saturday Sunday's paper, and they had a pro-gun thing and an anti-gun thing, and the anti-gun person used the term once again automatic and semi-automatic assault weapons. I'm not going to say you can't get hold of an automatic assault weapon. You could buy one that somehow got sold to Mexico through some other country and perhaps get one, but generally in the shootings we've seen, that doesn't exist. But that's not really the point. The point is they're not really assault weapons. They're just made to look like assault weapons. So here's an example. I looked in the Big Five's thing on the weekend. So here's a gun that looks like a regular rifle, and it's a 223 caliber. And then here's a gun that looks like a, quote, assault rifle. It's semi-automatic, and it's a 22 long rifle. So you say, well, who cares, Bill? What's the difference? The 22 long rifle, the assault rifle, can shoot about 1,100 feet a second. The one that doesn't look like an assault rifle can shoot at 2,300 feet a second. I don't want to be in front of either one of those, but I know one would be worse than the other, for sure. And a 223 caliber is what the M16 was designed to shoot. Well, actually, the bullet was designed after the gun, I suppose. Anyway, so it's kind of like a Magnum. It's a huge, it's like a 22 with a huge amount of force behind it. So I just, you know, I'm just telling you. I'm just trying to tell you. And then they have one of these plastic things. That, what do they call them? Soft air? It's an exact replica. I mean, except for the orange tip on the end, it is an exact replica of the of this M4 carbine, which is, quote, an assault rifle. Interesting. What if you just use it in self-defense? Is that still an assault rifle? I'm just asking. You know, if we're going to pick a nit, I might as well keep picking the nit. Picky, picky, picky. Hey, I have a, you know what I thought I'd share here? Oh, wait, I got a couple things that I'm going to share with you. This is big news here. Let me get to my big news here. Okay, now, you know this group just went and looked on that island for Amelia Earhart, and they did some searching and stuff, and they were, what was the name of the island? Let me tell you what it is. Nicomoro. Nicomaroro. Anyway, Nicomaroro is the name of that island that they thought maybe she crash-landed on. Well, they didn't find any evidence that she crash-landed there. However, on a reef at the end of the island, they found some interesting stuff, which we'll hear about after this ad.
If you had a dollar for every dollar car insurance companies say they'll save you by switching, you'd have, like, a ton of dollars. But how are they saving you those dollars? A lot of companies might answer, or no comment. Then there's Esurance, born online, raised by technology, and majors in efficiency. So whatever they save, you save. Hassle, time, paperwork, hair tearing out, and yes, especially dollars. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Click or call.
Be closer to getting solved this morning. There's potential new evidence surrounding the disappearance of Amelia Earhart. Scientists with the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, or TIGER, launched a $2 million underwater expedition last month near the Republic of Kiribati. It is a string of Pacific islands where Earhart is thought to have landed or crashed on July 2, 1937, while trying to fly around the world. So after combing through hours of footage, they stopped at this image that you're looking at right there. It might not look like much to you, but forensics experts say it could be the evidence that they are looking for. Rick Gillespie is executive director of TIGER and author of the 2009 book, Finding Amelia, The True Story of the Earhart Disappearance. He is live from Philadelphia. So nice to welcome you back to Early Start. Thank you. So
thank you.
We had that image up there. Tell us what you found.
Well, what we found was something that looks like what we're looking for in the place that we hope to find it. Unfortunately, at the time, we didn't have the high-definition video that we could see in real time, or we would have simply swum up to these things with the ROV and poked at them and see if it's what we're looking for. We had to wait till we got home to process the video, really review it. The forensic people have looked at it and said, yeah, there's man-made material there in a debris field,
so,
and it
Mr.
turns
Gillespie-
out to be...
We're watching this right now. I want to put that image back up again because I'm not sure
Don't
what we're looking at. So if you can walk us through, we have some arrows pointing at some stuff, but we're not sure what it is. Can you tell us what
dark splotches?
See?
Well, we're not sure what it is either, but what we see is, I think that uppermost arrow has the same shape and dimensions as the fender on the landing gear of a Lockheed Electra. The thing in the left-hand most arrow is could be a pulley. It's sort of box-like, but it's definitely man-made. Down to the right seem to be other components of the landing gear. There's something there that might be a tire. I think that's in the second from the right arrow. You know, it was a landing gear that we saw on the reef in the 1937 photo. And we're wondering if maybe we've found the thing that we see in the 1937 photo, although...
Can I say something to you just so you know? Because you're saying, Bill, they're showing this stuff. There's nothing. You can't tell anything. I thought maybe it was taken from high up, and it was huge pieces of something. It was little pieces of stuff. but you couldn't recognize him as anything on this particular photograph. I just want you to know that. Okay, let's hear.
Well, now broken into pieces. It's
now,
been 75 years.
This is a really rough area at the bottom of the ocean. So how can you access it so that you can study it?
We would, if we continue to develop this evidence, and it does appear to be aircraft wreckage, as we hope it will, we'd have to go back. We can go back into that area with submersibles and retrieve this stuff. If we can get it up on the deck of a ship, we can know for sure what it is. But it sure looks interesting at this point.
It does. I want to go back to that photo that was taken back in 1937, shortly after she disappeared. If we can put that up so that you can explain to people also what that is.
This is a photograph taken on October 15th, 1937, 3 months after Earhart disappeared. It was taken by a British Colonial Service officer who was visiting the island on an expedition. It was uninhabited at the time. They were just checking it out for future settlement. And he just snapped a picture of the western end of the island, primarily to get a picture of that shipwreck that's there. That's the SS Norwich City that went aground in 1929. And what we noticed is that there's something sticking up out of the water on the left-hand side of the frame that shouldn't be there. And the forensic imaging experts look at that and parse it and do their magic. And what they see is something that's consistent with the landing gear assembly of a Lockheed Electra aircraft.
And so that's what...
There you go. Lockheed Electra aircraft. Anyway, that was that story there. I thought I'd share it with you. I'm sorry that they kept referring to these pictures. It really didn't show you anything. Those of us that are not forensic magicians or whatever it is, we would just look at that picture and go, it's a picture of an island, because you couldn't tell that. But I just thought I'd share that with you, because now maybe they finally done it. Now, they spent $2 million getting to this point. How could it cost so much? Anyway, they spent $2 million to get to this point, and so now I guess they got to go out and try to rustle up some more dough. So they can take a remote-controlled thingy down there, give it a look. A concert, perhaps, for a fundraiser.
Hello, Bill Senna's Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Senna's Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Senna's Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Senna's Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service. And we'll find the right policy for you.
Huh, good. Because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Senna's Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande, or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
Yeah, I didn't tell you? I'm finally letting John take me out to lunch. I know he's not my type. I just hope he doesn't take me to someplace I've ate a million times. Oh, shoot, here he comes. Talk to you later.
Hey there, you ready for lunch?
Sure, where are we going?
I've been dying to try Slow Brew for lunch.
Okay.
If the same old thing for lunch over and over and over is driving you crazy, stop the madness and try something new at Slow Brew. Affordable, delicious food, great ambiance. It's Slow Brew, downtown Slow, with $3 tacos, your choice of steak, chicken, or Alaskan cod. Vegetarians, try their Peace and Love vegan hummus platter. And all of Slow Brew's salads, burgers, and sandwiches can be ordered in either full or half-size portions. Even their most popular, the Thai Ahi Salad. Loosen up your day a little bit by adding one of Slow Brew's award-winning microbrews to your lunch. It's Slow Brew, serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday at 1119 Garden Street, downtown Slow.
I don't know about a new guy, but I definitely have a new lunch spot. Slow Brew.
You better sit down, kids. I'll tell you why, kids. You might not understand, kids, but give it a try, kids. Now, how should I put this? I've got something to say. Your mother is staying, but I'm to bed, make sure you get yourself to school on time. I know you'll do the things your mother asks. You're gonna need your muscles to stay in line. Keep in mind, your mother's gonna need your help a whole lot more than she ever did before. No more fights over little things, cause I won't be here to stop them anymore. I know you don't want this, and neither do we, but sometimes things happen that we can't foresee. Now try to become kids, and don't look so sad, just cause I am leaving, I'll still be your dad. Just remember I love you, and though I'm not here, just call if you need me, and I'll always be near. Say your prayers before you go to bed, make sure you get yourself to school on time. I know you'll do the things your mother asks. You're gonna need your muscles to stay in line. Keep in mind, your mother's gonna need your help a whole lot more than she ever did before. No more fights over little things, cause I won't be there to stop them anymore.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's shoes. At Southside Promenade.
Southside Promenade. I'm wearing my Mike shoes this very day. Of course, I wear Mike shoes every day, so that wouldn't be an exception. I'm wearing a different style than I was, let's say, yesterday, but they're all the same Clarks. I wear Clarks. Anyway, but you really find some good things. Now, here's going to have a big tent sale coming up on Labor Day weekend, and so I wanted to alert you to that. And as soon as I know more about the exact hours and stuff, I'll fill you in. But know that there's a sale that's going to take place on Labor Day weekend at Mike's. All right. Other things. You're Bill, Talking Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network. I had that little thing I came across here, if I can find it. If I can find it, I think I can find it. Not necessarily, though. You know, don't hold me to that, okay? Okay, here it was. It was a 2012 fall movie preview.
The only way to defend ourselves is to attack.
Here's Time's 2012 fall movie preview.
You know, they say if you make one friend on your first day, you're doing okay.
Hey, freshman toast!
Writer Stephen Chbosky held on to the movie rights to his beloved 1999 young adult novel, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, until he could direct it himself. Another perk to waiting? Emma Watson finally graduated from Hogwarts and signed on as Sam, the cool senior who befriends lonely freshman Charlie.
Go be psychos together!
Played by Logan Lerman.
I know these will all be stories someday. But right now, we are alive.
We're late. Go.
This school doesn't care.
I care.
In Won't Back Down, Maggie Gyllenhaal gets her Erin Brockovich moment as a feisty single mom who takes on the task of reforming a failing urban school with the help of a forward-thinking teacher played by Viola Davis.
You think that's dumb?
I think it's a knockout.
It's likely to be controversial since it hails from Walden Media, producers of the education documentary Waiting for Superman.
Have you heard about those mothers that lift one-ton trucks off their babies? They're nothing compared to me.
After 18 years of being utterly ordinary, I finally felt I could shine.
In the post-coital conclusion of the epic vampire tale Twilight, Bella is a vampire, a mother, happily wedded to Edward Cullen and fighting the Volturi.
Oh my.
Whether that can possibly match the unfolding drama of this past summer's tabloids remains to be seen.
What is it, Alice?
The Volturi. They're coming for us.
There will be people on the outside who will not understand the condition you men have.
The Master is Paul Thomas Anderson's first feature since There Will Be Blood.
You're acting aggressive because you drank too much alcohol.
It stars Philip Seymour Hoffman as a science fiction scribe who founds a religious group called The Cause shortly after World War II.
But above all, I am a man just like you.
Joaquin Phoenix returns to the real world of film acting as a drifter who becomes the Master's primary disciple.
You know, you should wake up, Val. The Father's speaking. You might learn something.
He's making all this up as he goes along. You don't see that?
Sparky is a great dog. A great friend.
The best dog a kid could have.
In 1984, Disney let a young animator, Tim Burton, make a 28-minute live-action comedy about a boy who reanimates his dead pit bull terrier.
Sparky!
Judging it too creepy for kids, they barely released the film. Burton went elsewhere, but 28 years later, Disney has bankrolled Burton's stop-motion animated feature version of Frankenweenie. It pays glorious black-and-white tribute to the James Whale Frankenstein films of the 1930s and to any child's eternal love for his pet and best friend.
We can do better. Bigger.
I want to see that one myself. I want to see that right there. All right, and that's a stop-action thing. You know, they got another one out there. What's the name of the other one? It's a stop-action thing. Not Frankenweenie. It's something else. Anyhow, that's out now. It's out now. Let's hear. Wait a minute. We had the box office thingy right here in the paper today. So let me check it out. I think it came in number 3. It's Paranorman, which is also by the people that did Coraline. It's taken this long to make a whole nother movie, is why. You know, that's the whole thing right there. All right, so the top movie this weekend was The Expendables 2, which is just goes to show there's no sense in anybody critiquing these things because nobody cares. The Bourne Legacy was 2, Paranorman 3, The Campaign 4, 5 was Sparkle, 6 was The Dark Knight Rises, 7, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, 8, Hope Springs, 9, Diaries of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, and 10 was Total Recall. How much did it do? $3.5 million. I think if you totally recall what Jim D and I were talking about here a couple weeks ago, there was no reason to redo that movie for any reason in the whole wide world. Okay, so that's it right there. Oh, they could give it another name. So here was some big news today. Augusta National Golf Course has decided to admit women, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and business executive Darla Moore. So they had a long-standing policy of excluding women as members. So this is interesting that this happened just now. And now here's the thing. I don't know about the other lady, this Darla Moore, but it's Condoleezza Rice. Condoleezza Rice is not married, right? Well, that should make the clubhouse a little bit more interesting. Instead of guys using pickup lines on each other, they can actually use one on a woman. I don't know if it'll work, but there it is. It's a strange world we live in. Okay. Prince Philip was released from the hospital, by the way. So, because when you get to be in your 90s and you go to the hospital, people say, well, it's not good. But he's okay, I guess. All right. Oh, you know, this is interesting because, I'm not a paleontologist, either a real one or an amateur, whatever it is, you know. But here, an amateur paleontologist found, I don't know what that means when you say you're an amateur paleontologist. Does that mean you just go digging around the yard? If I dig around my yard, am I a paleontologist? Yeah, actually looking for bones. Or you thought I was just planting bushes, but I'm looking for bones. Anyway, over in Bakersfield, people found a different kind of dolphin skull, a new species of dolphin. And they're pretty, everybody's all excited about that. You know, paleontologists, there's only so much you get excited about because you're dealing with dead stuff. So anyway, but they're pretty jazzed on the whole thing. And then they just found another spider. Where was that? They found a new spider. What paper was that? That was in Saturday's paper. They found a new spider in Oregon Cave. It's a creepy, crawly, nasty little thing with two big stinger things on its head with poison sacs. And anyway, anyhow. So we have some new things. As much as we are saying we're destroying all the other species, well, luckily new ones are coming along. Well, not the dolphin. He's dead. Icky. USS Constitution sailed again, 215 years old, and so it went. I would say I think it's 17 minutes it traveled across the harbor. Yeah, 17 minute cruise, which doesn't seem like a lot, you know what I mean? And that woman who's 62, Diana Nyad, forged ahead through the Straits of Florida with renewed vigor Sunday in pursuit of a record 103-mile unassisted swim in open waters without the aid of a shark cage, and she's trying to swim, of course, from Cuba to Florida. And she was stung four times during the night on the neck, lip, hand, and forehead, according to members of her 50-member team who updated fans through social media. She's turned 63 Wednesday. Holy cow. Making her third attempt since last summer at a cageless crossing of the Straits of Florida. She also made a failed try with a cage in 1978. She doesn't give up, though. You're going to talk about not giving up? Forget that politician guy. What's his name? Todd Akin. There's somebody that doesn't give up. I mean, doesn't give up. It's, you know, these jellyfish stings are really painful. Have you ever been stung by jellyfish? They're really painful. I don't know how you get on the lip. Help. But there they go. She just keeps on stroking. I don't know if I get it, but okay. Tiger Woods sold a... he's a PGA champion now, but they call him that. Tiger Woods has sold his condominium in Corona Del Mar for $2,213,000, but he bought it for, in 2004, $3 million. So he took a beating. I entered a contest today, you know, one of these little funny sweepstakes things. I entered a contest, and I don't do it very often, but I did it. And it was for a $650,000 house in Maine, someplace in Maine, and $50,000 cash. So for a total of $700,000. So the question, of course, is, if you won that, I couldn't possibly pay the taxes on that. So, I hope I don't win. I'll be stuck. And you know, they always says, I read the rules and all that. I didn't. I don't know if you could sell it or not. Maybe you could. I don't know. It's hard to say. All right, let's see what's going on. And here they have the big thing here. Taliban step-up attacks on officials. And to tell you how bad it's been for coalition forces. Well, so here's what's happening. Two things are happening. We have the Afghanis that are attacking coalition forces 32 times this year and 10 times in the last 2 weeks. And so we got that nightmare. And then the Taliban, they've decided to step up what they're doing, and they're attacking these officials that aren't protected. You know, they're lesser officials, but they're nonetheless officials. And they blow them up, and they shoot them, and they do whatever they do with them. And then that's causing, you know, Afghanistan's, it's not going to happen, I'm telling you. And the sad thing is, as we draw down troops, you know, and it gets worse, it's going to get worse for a fewer number of people. And so, therefore, we're going to lose more people. And I don't understand that at all anymore. All right. WikiLeaks founder tells U.S. to end a witch hunt. You know, he's in the Ecuadorian embassy there, and he's hanging out. And he went on the balcony to do some yapping. I can see where you might want to see the Pope. You know what I mean? You go to the Vatican City, you know, and go to the square, and you might want to see the Pope. But Julian Assange, I don't think so. Anyhow, now here's the thing. Oh, it's also saying that he was calling for the release what's his name? Manning. He said he's one of the most foremost political prisoners in the world right now. Right there. Bradley Manning. Here's an interesting thing. And forgive me for being ignorant about this, but I just am. I've honestly been waiting for some big word about this is what information was gleaned from all this WikiLeaks stuff that was something, you know, that was going to be very vital to America and bad if it got out. I haven't heard anybody say anything about anything. So I'm not sure all this leaking did much, but it's illegal, but that's about all. Todd Akin used the word legitimate rape, which is kind of like, you know, what? Say what? Say what? We got to get more women in politics. We got men with just mouthing off about everything that happens to women. I get tired of hearing it. Now we have a fire up in the Northern California right now that is 19 square miles, and it's near places I've never heard of: Manton, Shingletown, and Viola. Have you heard of those places? Well, there's 3,500 homes that are threatened right now. So even if I haven't heard of it, that doesn't mean it's not bad. As you heard, this Tony Scott, this director guy, jumped off a bridge. We don't know what the deal on that was. The Vincent Thomas Bridge he jumped off of. The one that spans San Pedro and Terminal Island in L.A. Maybe he couldn't swim. I bet he couldn't swim because I don't think that bridge, I don't know, it wouldn't be any good if you did a belly flop. But it doesn't seem like a fall that would kill you. It's not like the Golden Gate. But anyway, he's dead nonetheless. U.S. Coast Guard Lieutenant Jennifer Osborne told the Daily Breeze that a suicide note was found inside Scott's black Toyota Prius, Tony Scott's Prius. British-born Scott was producer-director Ridley Scott's brother. So they haven't told us yet what the note said, so we don't know. Okay. The Curiosity, the rover on Mars, fired its laser beam at a rock. It has a laser thing on board. It has a penetrating type laser, you know, kind of like one you wouldn't, you know, do eye surgery with, because it actually blasts holes in things. So, and that's always the thing I always worry about, you know, when a laser can, you know, either be used delicately to fix a vision, or it can be used to melt bulldozers. And I think if I was going to go and have my eyes done, I'd want to look at the machine before he started to make sure it wasn't the melt bulldozer setting. And I guess it's going to kind of frighten me there. So this thing blasted a hole in the rock, and we're getting a lot of sort of half-baked news today. And it's not my fault. I mean, if I could tell you what that found out when it blasted that rock, if it found out anything, I'd tell you, but it doesn't. No, nobody's saying. It just says it shot the rock. Shoot the moon next. Okay. All right, anyway, that's it. Shot the rock. That's what we want with it. All right. People that do things, and this, I think this is true for all of us, you know, those of us that aren't dishonest, we marvel sometimes at the things that people pull off and the things that people concoct to, you know, try to cheat other people out of something or cheat in some way. And because our brains don't work in that, whatever that psychosis is that makes people do that sort of stuff, if you don't have it, you don't understand it. And so Cabrera actually had a phony website made and had a phony product on this website that, you know, said, it didn't say that it would raise your testosterone, but that's part of what his excuse was. Oh, here, you can see the website I went to here, and I ordered some of this stuff, and then I didn't know it was going to affect my testosterone. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Yet you know that you've taken too much testosterone, and you get hair on your palms and the soles of your feet, I guess. I don't know how else you'd notice it, I guess. I don't know how much I have. I don't know if mine's perfect or not perfect. Well, Andrew Luck, he didn't have any yesterday. He threw he started the game for the Colts and threw two interceptions. But and they lost to Pittsburgh Steelers. It was an interesting game to watch, but they put this guy that's like the fourth string quarterback in at the end. And the guy was romping and stomping. Very interesting. Anything else in the news I want to tell you? Anything else in sports? Well, yeah, this is poor Jimmy Johnson's car in the Michigan 400. He was leading. He was going to win, it appeared, and then his car pooped out, which has to kind of annoy you. You know what I'm saying? We go back to Danica Patrick. Remember the Indy 500 running out of gas? Yeah. She's not. She's so far not made much of a dent in stock car racing, has she? But I suppose there's a learning curve. Although you'd think if you were already racing Indy 500 cars, you'd have some of it learned, wouldn't you? Of course, stock car racing is a little rough. It's kind of a little bit rougher than it looks. So maybe that's why, I don't know. And then check the headlines here, make sure why we're speaking as we go along that nothing new comes up. Well, guess what? Comedian Phyllis Diller has passed away. Go ahead and click on that, and we'll tell you about it. All right. Comedian Phyllis Diller died this morning, her manager said, as she was 95. Phyllis Diller passed away peacefully in her sleep at 9:30 a.m., her son Perry found her with a smile on her face. Diller began her legendary stand-up comedy career at the age of 37. She met Bob Hope in 1959 for the first time, and the two became close friends until his death. She appeared in many of his TV specials and three of his movies. We lost comedy legend today. Comedian Ellen DeGeneres tweeted, Phyllis Diller was the queen of the one-liner. She was a pioneer. Comedian Whoopi Goldberg added that she was a funny, classy, smart woman and was unique in every way. A true original has died, Goldberg tweeted, adding that there was nobody who looked or sounded anything like her. Now, can I say something, please? And this is not to be disrespectful at all. This is exactly the opposite. Remember we were talking last week about plastic surgery, and why don't you go, if you see somebody has had really good plastic surgery done, you know, I guess they say, well, you're... You'd know if it's, how could you know if it's any, if you can tell that it's good, maybe it isn't. But that's not necessarily true. I mean, Phyllis Diller was 95 years old. I don't know exactly how old she looked. I can't describe that. There's a picture of her here right now, but I can't tell you. But she certainly didn't like 95. But she didn't have any, her face wasn't weird in any way. You know what I mean? So who, if you're in Hollywood right now, or even if you're not in Hollywood, maybe you're just here in the Central Coast and you're thinking, I got to have something done to my face. Find out who Phyllis Diller went to. How do you find that out? Oh, probably start tweeting and twiggering and all that stuff. Anyway, because she certainly didn't look 95 years old, and she didn't look weird. Kenny Rogers, on the other hand, looks 95 after he had plastic surgery. So that's a shame. Okay, other people are in the news today. Well, let's find out what this has to say. This is a Syrian rebels. It says Saudi support for Syrian rebels shaped by tribal and religious ties. So Saudi Arabia is somehow behind the rebels, and we'll see to what extent. Damn story come up. Every time I talk to a group of Syrians, I learn another layer of the complex construct weaving between Syrian society and complicated any analysis of the conflict. Does this have anything to do with what I'm talking about? Because it doesn't sound like it. Well, no, here it is. Add to tribal sympathies, religious conviction, most Saudis are Sunni Muslims, the same as the Syrian majority who kicked off the uprising. It's a little wonder that when the residents of the desert kingdom dipped their hands in their pockets for the Syrians, they didn't disappoint. Close to $500 million Saudi riyals, almost $150 million, was raised by the end of Ramadan, a 30-day period of fasting and giving that ended this weekend. Most of it was given during a 5-day telethon, much of the rest deposited in an account in a Saudi bank. So it ain't like they're not being helped. They are. Of course, they take that money and they buy Soviet weapons. Russian weapons. Not Soviet. Russian weapons. Kind of an intertwined disaster is really what it is. All these things. It just is really bad. It's bad, 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 bad. Well, we got people that are naturally upset over this group in Itasca that filed to stop Walmart, saying that the EIR wasn't done properly. And so, it's inevitability is certainly there, but this could push it off for another year or two. It's kind of amazing to me. So one person's sentiment was this: if the citizens of Itasca voted in favor of the Walmart, which they did, then what gives this small group of people the right to botch it up? Interesting. Interesting. Now, here was a wild story over the weekend, and this is this eminent domain raises mortgage relief. So this is really weird. Here's how the thing is. This is being shopped around right now by San Francisco's Mortgage Resolution Partners, but it may not be legal, but here's the thing. It goes on. The investors group is encouraging cities and counties to condemn mortgages and cut the amount borrowers owe to prevent blight and boost local economies. So basically, they're saying that they're going to, by eminent domain, they're going to condemn the property, make it worth less, and therefore their people won't have as much then they'll take control of it and they'll control the money, but they can charge them less. Anyway, so I don't see it. If you take San Bernardino, so if you took San Bernardino and you did that, does that sound like it's going to work in San Bernardino? Sounds like a scheme to me, but oh well. Activists worldwide are denouncing what happened to the band, the Pussy Riot, there in Russia. He got 2 years each of the girls. There's three girls got 2 years. So everybody in the world thinks it's wrong that they got 2 years. But this is Putin. I keep telling you, this Putin guy's a spooky guy. He really is. He'd like to go back to the old days. And he's trying to do as best as he can on his own to try to do that now as president. Anyway, so that's what happened to Pussy Riot. Now, you're probably asking yourself, why did they get that name? Eager Beavers had already been taken. So they decided to call themselves the Pussy Riot. Hey, other people on the news. Okay. See here, U.S. to beef up rural forces in Afghanistan. Here's a headline. It's not going to do any good. It's not going to matter anymore. Now here's a picture you almost have to see, but I can't show it to you. But anyway, a Brazilian worker, a bar when he was a steel rod, you know, a piece of rebar. He's working on a building, and this piece of rebar got kicked or something off the upper floors, and it went through the top of his head and out from between his eyes. And he went to the hospital like that. He went to the hospital, and he didn't have a headache. He didn't have any effect. It didn't even hurt, he said. So they removed it, and reminds me of the Allstate commercial where you have the construction workers. And some of you can depend on, not like Bobby over there. So Bobby, if Bobby's not that smart as a construction worker, perhaps he had a steel bar through his head. It's hard to say. I've always wondered by that. All right, now they're getting into another thing that's going on. This is, I think this is, at this point, is a kind of a foolish debate because I don't think we really have any choice. But the fire service is not allowing any fires to burn. They're putting them out because it's just too dangerous. You know, our conditions are so terrible that they have to put them out. And some they can't even get out, for gosh sakes. And so there's people that go, well, no, you shouldn't do it that way because, you know, back in the old days when fires used to burn until they burned themselves out and it was really good for the forest and all that kind of stuff. Problem is people have built houses in all that forest now, and so it makes a huge difference whether or not you let it burn or not. But if it wasn't for that, it'd be a dandy idea, I suppose. The house thing is a big issue for a lot of people that own one.
Give it to the band. You may not be guilty, but you're ready to confess. Tell me what you need. Welcome to burlesque. You can dream of cocoa and do it at your risk. The triplets grant you mercy, but not your every wish. Jesse keeps you guessing, so cool and statuesque. Behave yourself, says Georgia. Welcome to burlesque.
Cheru right there, and welcome to Burlesque. You're Bill Banker. Talks Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network. No burlesque here, by the way. Although there was a big story. Let me see if I can find it right now here. Wait a second. Maybe a little more. He showed too much, I guess. Where's the guy here that got in trouble? They might not have it. I don't know. Do you think they have it? No, I don't see it. Okay, well, let me tell you what happened. I can't tell you. See, it's a congressman, but I can't tell you his name, or senator, or something. Anyway, what happened was they went to Israel, and so they were in the Red Sea and whatnot, and so a bunch of people kind of, and it's a religious experience, you know. They stay in a $1,000 a day hotel, you know, on your dime and mine, and so then one of the people took off their clothes, a man, and was swimming naked. At which point it sort of put a damper on the fun that everybody was having and the religious experience, so that everybody got out of the water. So now he's been chastised by his party. Anyhow, I had to get to this story. I saw this and I'm like, oh no, I know somebody like that. Boys flying in fear strands family. See, what happens if you go, you say, okay, I'll get on one, and you get to where you're going, but then you have to get back. You're like, oh, God, I don't want to get back on it. I don't know what that feels like, I can tell you. So let's see what happened with this story. It should be cute. There may be a spot first. Yeah, load up, baby. Load away. Can't be that hard to load. It's just a simple story.
On a scorching August afternoon, 11-year-old Joe Thompson only has his dad to practice rugby with. All his friends have gone home for the summer holidays. But when Joe tried flying home to the UK 6 weeks ago, a sudden fear of flying paralyzed him at the airport.
Everything just went horrible for me. I just went into body lockdown. I kept on crying. I sat down, I couldn't move. I just couldn't do it.
He's tried flying home 4 times already, and once even made it as far as the flight cabin.
And then the captain announced that we need to shut the doors now. And so I immediately knew what to do. I just got over the chairs, went around into the aisle and sprinted out.
Joe's father, Tony, says the phobia came out of the blue and that Joe had always loved flying. He says hypnotherapy, psychiatric consults, and even a sedative injection failed to get his son on board.
The initial reaction was, come on, we'll get on the plane, you'll be fine, you know. But then I realized, no, it was far more serious than this.
Even more serious is how to get Joe home now.
The trouble for Joe and his father is that they live here, in the oasis city of Al Ain, in the middle of the desert of the United Arab Emirates. And London is 3,500 miles that way.
The challenge has been finding an alternative to the 8-hour flight that takes them across the Middle East by land and sea while avoiding the deadly conflict areas.
Through Baghdad, through Syria, through Aleppo, and into Turkey, but clearly that's not going to happen.
The maritime option is to sail around the Arabian Peninsula, through the pirate-infested waters of the Red Sea, up through the Suez Canal, past the Egyptian hotspot of Sinai, then onto Turkey and Europe. But now there's also the option of a land route. After earlier being denied entry visas by Saudi Arabia, the ambassador in London stepped in to help. And these freshly minted visas mean Tony and Joe can now take a bus through Saudi Arabia and Jordan, a car to Haifa and Israel, a boat to Cyprus or Greece, then trains all the way through Europe until they reach the UK, about a 2-week journey.
It's been a bit of a roller coaster. I know, we just want to get on our way.
I just can't wait to get started.
Father and son say they're both optimistic that once home, they can get Joe's condition treated.
It's a doctor, isn't it?
But for now, they're still grounded, playing ball on an empty field, waiting for the first bus, ship, or car heading, roughly, home. Shams al-Wazir, Al Ain, United Arab Emirates.
There you go. I see, that's the problem. You got to go both ways and stuff, and you just all of a sudden you don't want to go. Yep, I can sympathize with that young man. I understand how he's feeling about that. Yeah, let's do that. All right, well, anyway, that was kind of interesting. All right, let's. What is this thing here that I had? Oh, here was a strange tale. Which we'll get to as soon as we possibly can. Because a guy, and there's rules, I guess. I'm not sure why we have as many rules as we do. But anyway, so for instance, if you have somebody cremated, and then can you bury them in your yard? If they're cremated and you're in an urn, can you bury it in your yard? Who would know? Okay. So let's go with that. Who would know? But if you just, got a big mound in your backyard, people do know, and this guy's fighting to keep his wife buried in his backyard.
Nobody has ways to try to shut that whole thing down.
Well, what was that? That's two things going on. Okay, well, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Front porch on her death in 2009. State Health Department says burial plots are allowed on private property, but city of...
Let's start over on this thing. See how bad this will be.
Anyway. Alabama widower locked in a legal battle over the right to keep his late wife's remains buried in his front yard. His name is James Davis, and he buried Patsy Ruth Davis a few feet from their front porch on her death in 2009. State Health Department says burial plots are allowed on private property, but city officials in Stevenson have sued to have her disinterred, dug up, because he lives on the main road through town. The county judge agreed with them, but it's all headed to an appellate court. So Patsy will stay put at least for now. So tough call, because I support this. First of all, if you go through many parts of this country, people have cemeteries, entire giant cemeteries in their front yards. That's how people used to bury people.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be some mad rush for everybody to bury somebody in their front yard. And I think here's a guy.
He's in the downtown area.
Right.
Do we
know how Stevenson.
Look, we don't live in that city. The city officials.
It's flowers. Look, this is her gravesite.
They should be allowed to have some control. They should be allowed in their own city to have some kind of control over something.
I haven't heard of it. I've never gone anywhere where there's people buried in the front yard. Have you? I got to get out more. I can't tell you that I have. I just can't tell you that I've seen that at all anywhere. So, it's just me, though. Okay. Let's see if I can get rid of this darn thing. Okay, thank you. You're a Bill Talkers Sheep Friends and Neighbors Network at 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. It's supposed to be a pretty nice week all week. Not real warm after today. It's supposed to get down in the 70s. Except in that North County, yes. Guess what my wife had me do? I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying that if I had had a choice, Actually, it didn't turn out to be that bad, so I can't really say anything. I'm making a fool out of myself because she said, "Well, let's go up to Dunbar Brewery in Santa Margarita. We'll call my brother and we'll meet him for a beer there." I said, "You know, there's nobody in their right mind would drive from San Luis Obispo to a place that's 100 degrees. You know, nobody does that. They just don't do it. They'll come the other way, you know." So I said, "The traffic won't be bad anyway." But anyway, so finally I said, "Okay, yeah, let's go do this, you know." And so we went, and it wasn't that. I don't know why. It was, I don't know what the temperature was, but it didn't seem that bad. So anyway, it seemed fine. And then the brewery, they have to keep really cold because of some aspect of the brewing process. So it was cold in there. It was actually cold in there. Anyway, we want to thank Chris for his hospitality. And we had a beer, and it was fine. And then I'm supposed to remember this lady's name. I told my wife. She said, "Do you want to write it down?" I go, "No, I'll remember that." Her name is Ma'am. Okay, Ma'am. She says something. I go, "Yes, Ma'am," or "No, Ma'am." Anyway, she owns Two Little Birds Bakery in Paso Robles, and she showed us pictures of some of the stuff she does. Holy dump truck. She's very good. Anyway, I guess she's having a good year, too, so that's really nice. Two Little Birds Bakery. It's on 13th Street in Paso. So I met her. And you got to see pictures. You know, these people that carry around iPhones and whatnot, you know, where they always have stuff always handy. Unlike Benica, that forgets to write down a name on a little piece of paper. Okay. But, you know, you're going to say, "Well, yeah, but maybe you didn't have a pen." I got to tell you something. I do, because there's a pen, I think it's called Jet Pens, I'm not sure, but I think that's what it's called, and you can buy a really skinny little pen that fits in your wallet. You can actually keep it in the fold of your wallet, and that's what I always have a pen with me. I just don't have sense enough to write things down, so, you know, I'm halfway there. It's like halfway there, thereabouts. Okay. Let me see. A hard time getting rid of that for some reason. Maybe I had a hard time getting rid of the darn thing for some reason. I've never personally seen anybody buried in any yard. Front, back, side, nothing. But maybe in the South, maybe they do that in the South. I don't know. They do things in the South that aren't the same as they do them elsewhere, so perhaps that's the story right there. I don't know, but I'm going to guess. All right. Other things that happened over the weekend we can do. Who cares about that? All right. I don't know if you heard about this story. This was in Braintree, Massachusetts, where perhaps misnamed, because this guy asked for a certain kind of lottery ticket, and she gave him the wrong one. And so she said, "Well, here, I'll give you the right." He said, "It doesn't matter, you know." And he scratched it off, and he won $1 million. I know. You're saying, how does that happen to people? I don't know how it does. But if you're not in there buying a lottery ticket, you don't stand a chance of having it happen to you. I can tell you that right now. That's a deal right there. Amanda Bynes has, she's been accused of hitting a car, a Toyota. This is the third incident involving her this year. She was charged with driving under the influence following April arrest, and she allegedly struck an L.A. County Sheriff's Office cruiser. So shouldn't be in a car, is really what the deal is like that. She should be in the back seat, not in the front. That's the whole thing I'm telling about right there. Okay. Douglas and Weber, Gabby Douglas Jordan Weber are enjoying the after Olympics attention they're getting, which they should. So I'm kind of happy about that. Did you see as soon as she won that all around gold, the people General Mills came out and they had her picture on a Wheaties box already. I don't eat Wheaties. So isn't that the Breakfast of Champions? Yeah, I'm gonna get involved now. All right. It didn't really affect me in any way, but I'm happy to see that kind of stuff happen. That's good. All right. Well, we got the guy with the rod through his head. Got through that story right there. Okay. Well, here's something I hate to report on. July is the worst month for Army suicides. 26 of 38 soldiers who killed themselves were on active duty at the time. Now, wait, I saw a story here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I came across it. It had to do with something that maybe they think might help with these suicide things. Something like an inhaler of some kind. Let me see if this will load up. Once it loads up, I'll tell you about it. Anyway, we'll find out more about that. Apparently, the guy that went swimming in the Sea of Galilee didn't agree with his statement at all. This was made by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He said, Israel's existence is an insult to all humanity, Iran's president said Friday. One of his sharpest attacks yet against the Jewish state, and Israel openly debated whether to attack Iran over its nuclear program. Ahmadinejad said confronting Israel is an effort to protect the dignity of all human beings. You have to work hard at hating that bad, not hating that much. I mean, you have to really concentrate. It doesn't just happen to you. You got to really work at it. Two Penn State University administrators are charged with failing to report sex abuse allegations against Jerry Sandusky and later lying about it will go on trial on January 7th. Athletic Director Tim Curley and former Vice President Gary Schultz. What they did do was the ruling came a day after lawyers for them argued to have the perjury and reporting charges against their clients thrown out. So then what's left? It's not a plea bargain, so I don't know what's left. Maybe it is a plea bargain. I can't tell. It doesn't say it's a plea bargain. That doesn't make any sense right there. And we had another guy. It's the greed thing again, you know. We had this four-star general we've talked about last week, and this is General William Kip Ward. He used military vehicles to shuttle his wife on shopping trips and to a spa. Here's the problem. When you get that far up in the military, and I can tell you, I have friends like Dave and stuff that would tell you, you get that far up in the military, you pretty much think you're omnipotent, you know, because in a way you are if you're in the military, you know what I mean? Everything else is below you, and that's how it's put, too. Everyone else is below you. So I can see where that could probably get some guy's brain and whack it out. Those of us are just sort of slugged along, you know, at the bottom of the ladder. We never got in that position. We couldn't take a vehicle if we wanted to. All right, other things going on. Other things happening in our world today. The world is as crazy can be. Oh, we got an Ivan promo coming up. Treasure Ivan. I told you, remember, I looked up that thing in the crazy, his book with a record in it of the fire truck. $300. Well, okay, I guess. Blakeslee's effort to limit gifts dies again. So he tried once again to pass legislation that said you can't take stuff if you're in the assembly. And, of course, it was Bill 1426. Anyway, it's not even going to reach the assembly floor because, this is quite frankly, can I say it this way? I mean, here's a lame duck guy and a legislator, and he's people aren't really paying attention. And they're certainly not going to pay attention if it just says we have to deny ourselves any pleasure whatsoever that we've come to learn to love and have earned by our avarice and dishonesty.
Hello, my name is Ivan Ulves. This week, the Treasure Ivan Show will feature the Red Scare of the 1950s as told through children's records. Were they innocent amusements for the kiddie crowd or vicious propaganda tools to create a Soviet America? Listen in and decide for yourself. Saturday at 1:05 p.m. and Sunday at 5:05. See you there, comrades.
Just like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
Time now for your community calendar. Get ready for the Paso Robles Classic Car Weekend happening on August 31st through September 2nd. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday downtown Paso Robles. It's an entire weekend filled with classic car excitement that includes a cruise, a car show, and a barbecue with live music. For more details, call 238-0506. Put it on the calendar for Family Fun Day at Elm Street Park in Arroyo Grande. Monday, September 3rd from 1 to 4. It's free, so come on out. Free food, free face painting for the kids, live music, free entertainment and games with prizes, and bounce houses. For more info, call 481-2320. If you have something happening in your zip code, contact us. Calendar at RadioCentralCoast.com.
Thank you.
If you believe in love. Anyway, I think I do. So 25 minutes before the hour of 2, you're at Bill Benneke Talk and Sheep Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYMS, your news station. Thanks for joining me on this Monday. Pretty nice day. It's hot in the North County. This seems to be your pattern, you know what it's going to be. But it's going to get cooler in San Luis Obispo, which probably means, is this true? Is it going to get cooler along the coast, I guess? An interesting summer. There was a crack-up. I don't often save this section of the paper. This is Central Coast Living. But they had this thing that I kind of cracked up because it is an awkward thing. And it's called the public kiss, welcome or not. It's when people that you know, and then it depends on how well you know them. You know, sometimes you give people a hug, and sometimes you might want to give a person a hug, and then they put a smacker on you. And can surprise you sometimes. And you know, if somebody kisses me on the, if I like somebody quite a bit and they're a female of the opposite sex, and I give them a little hug, I'll sometimes kiss them on the forehead. Is that all right to do? I'm not into that lip smacking stuff. But I've had it happen to me. You know, where all of a sudden somebody puts the old lip lock on you, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? So they're saying that this was the etiquette section. They're not saying what to do at all. They're just saying it can happen, and you will be confused by it and tough. Learn to live with it. That's what they're saying right there. Learn to live with it. Well, county home prices are up for July. You know, prices are starting to go up. They really are. And real estate sales have really kind of taken off in the San Luis Obispo. I don't know about all the areas, but I know San Luis Obispo there. As I mentioned, I have a next-door neighbor that's a realtor. She said it's just a happening thing. Yeah. It's a happening. Okay. You knew this was coming. Cities dispute money sought by the state. Cities object to claims they have failed to pay or have underpaid the state after redevelopment agencies were eliminated. They said 27 local governments have failed to pay or have underpaid the state, is what they're saying. The people that have paid have coughed up $831,000. What did we say? No agencies from San Luis Obispo were found to be behind on any payments, by the way. Just to let you know, we keep our skirts clean around here. And our pants, too. So that's why that works. All right. So here the editorial from the Daily News in L.A. Had this perspective on fighting wildfires day and night. But they're basically saying is it's about time, you know, if these helicopters and things have the equipment and the capability of flying at night, which they do. I suppose firefighting is another wrinkle to it, though. It's not just flying, it's flying and fighting a fire, so that, you know, I would think that has some connection to why they didn't do it for a long time. But anyway, I guess they say now that, it's, you know, there's no reason not to do it, so they're going to start doing it. And so everybody's glad all along, right there. Everybody's happy. They said, okay, thank you. All right. Boy, that's, what did they say? Apple stock was 6 what today? Did I write it down? It's worth $620 billion. I know I wrote that down. Anyway, it closed Friday. It closed at 6:45:11. That was up $11 from Thursday. It is quite an amazing stock. It's what Facebook really wants to be when it grows up. Okay. Could somebody please buy me? Hey, I wanted somebody to buy me. All right. Well, here was an article. There's two ways of looking at this, and I understand why you would. And there is two ways of looking. There are two ways of looking at it, and so both ways have to be examined, I suppose. They call it churning. It's a practice of what they basically do is these car dealers that basically do their own financing. And so they require a large down payment. They're charging huge interest. They repossess much faster than a regular bank would. This mostly involves the poor, of course, because if they don't have enough credit or they have bad credit, you know, they're not going to be able to get a loan from a bank. So car lots do it. And So here's but there's the other side to this. So yes, it's a ripoff. There's no question about it. On the other side of this, though, is if they weren't there to provide an automobile for somebody, where would they get an automobile? They couldn't. Does that make sense? They have bills flying through the Senate now saying, okay, this is the thing we're going to do. Bills, two of which passed key committee votes in the State House on Thursday, include provisions to cap the interest rates such dealers can charge and force them to disclose the fair market value of every car on their lots. Proposed legislation would also require them to register as leaders with the state. Lenders. All three bills sailed easily through floor votes in their original houses in the spring, but they have faced mounting opposition from used car dealers, you can imagine. Okay. Well, if they have to, does everybody have to do it? Does that mean everybody has to? Everybody has to put the fair market value of a used car on the window? Well, it'd be the Kelley Blue Book retail fair market for whatever condition the car's in. They don't put the real cost or what it's going to cost you to buy a new car. They're trying to hope you pay more, and you're trying to hope you pay less. It's the game that's gone on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Well, here's some bad news. Unemployment rates rose in July in 44 states. California's jobless rate is steady at 10.7%, which is just absolutely pathetically terrible, of course, but that's where it's at. The things that our economy is based on, and I don't see where it's going to get much of a boost. I don't really see a big boost coming anywhere. Possibly if, they got something in the works with the Department of Defense, the aerospace people, which they could have something up their sleeve. But that's the thing. Oh, here I mentioned Facebook, and I forgot to tell you. It's fell to $19, so it's half its value. It's lost half its market value on Friday. So there it is, $19 compared to $645 for Apple. Well, okay. Municipal defaults expected to grow. You think? Oh, I would think so, too. Yeah, I would think they're going to. That would be my guess, too. Things are going to go bad on that. All right, here, I got the guy, okay? I got the guy that did the bare naked swimming. Several GOP sources familiar with the event. This was August 4th of 2011, by the way. This is a year ago now, so sometimes something's gone by so fast and so far that you almost say to yourself, well, why are we bringing this up now? If it's not, what do you want to say? If it's not recall worthy, let's say. Anyway, so here was the guy. This was a Representative Kevin Yoder of Kansas. So I'm not going to get into details. They're obvious anyway. The incident happened a year ago, but the repercussions are just now being felt in Washington after a report in Politico detail a trip and an ensuing FBI investigation. The FBI did look at the incident in Israel. But it doesn't say there's really a problem with that. But anyway, the guy decided to jump in the water naked. People were drinking and carrying on, all that kind of stuff. You know how people are. Here's a picture of him here. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him naked. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. Okay. That's what's happening with that story right there. Okay. Here we go. You can imagine what this is like. A girl held, accused of burning Quran pages. Let's see who did this. An 11-year-old Christian girl has been arrested after being accused of blasphemy by burning pages of the Quran in Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. According to a statement released by the president's office Sunday, the girl, identified as Ramsha, was accused by a local resident of burning pages of the Muslim holy text after she gathered paper as fuel for cooking. Local media reports that the girl has Down syndrome. CNN was unable to confirm those reports. Local police officials said they are not true. Kwasim Niazi, the police officer in charge of the station near where the incident took place, said the girl does not have a mental disorder but is illiterate and has not attended school. Well, how would she know what the thing said then? You see a problem with this? Do you see a problem with this? If you're illiterate, how do you know what the piece of paper says that you're about to use for firewood? Good God. I'll tell you, that place is amazing over there. Just wake up every day. I don't care where you are in the United States of America. Wake up every day and say, thanks, God. I sure am glad I'm here. I mean, it's like, are you serious? Unbelievable. All right. Let's see if there's any more stories here. We got the thing about the rover taking a thingy. Oh, they have new photos that are going to be coming out. So this is going to be kind of fun to see some of these photos that come out as they come out. They had a 360-degree affair the other day that actually did. I mean, it looks so much like Death Valley, they might have just well have gone to Death Valley, I guess. But I guess they're going to find something out. This might be fun to hear. A guy sets up a sting to recover a stolen bike. We'll find out how he did it. Because we like to have people that are just a step ahead of the bad guys. Nothing wrong with that.
Try this. It's Oikos Greek yogurt. It's creamy, non-fat, and it turns the next person you see into John Stamos for 5 seconds.
Honey, I think I'm getting burned.
Eat.
Tastes pretty good, huh?
Best yogurt ever.
Dan and Oikos Berry Flavors beat Chobani 2-1 in a national taste test. Oikos Greek yogurt, possibly the best yogurt in the world.
Portland native Jake Gillum had his $2,500 bike stolen earlier this month, turned up in a Seattle Craigslist ad. So he and his friends hatched this elaborate plan. They created a fake online persona and then traveled 160 miles to confront the alleged thief in person, film the whole thing. There's what it sounded like.
Here's the deal. I live in Portland, and you stole my bicycle. All right. And this is my bicycle.
All right.
Okay. And so, yeah, I would like you to apologize.
For what?
For stealing my bicycle.
I bought this bike off Craigslist.
No. No, you're under citizen's arrest. Stop right now.
Oh, citizen's arrest. It didn't seem to work. After he alerted police, he chased the suspect down on his stolen, now recovered bike. Authorities arrived on the scene. The guy was arrested, charged with trafficking in stolen property.
I had my two friends were waiting in a car close by, and our plan initially was just to have me sit there and ask him questions about the bike and take it for test rides until the police showed up. And that just took a long time, so I just basically had to talk to the guy for about 40 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And he became nervous, and I just kind of changed the plan. I told him that I was indeed going to buy the bike, and we shook hands, and told him I was going to go inside of a nearby bank and get $1,000 for him. And when I went into the bank, I told the teller what was going down, and the teller was good enough to call security. And at that time, I just texted my friends and told them to get ready to start filming and to get ready for the confrontation. I had to chase him down. We had three goals with this whole thing. One was that we were all going to get home safe and keep it nonviolent. The second goal was to get my bike back, and once we had that down, our third goal was just to get the guy arrested because we knew he was committing a felony. It was our goal to put him in jail. The police were the ones that actually detained him. I just kind of followed him on my bike, and he ran across this little four-lane highway, and I just started following behind him. As soon as he heard the sirens, though, he took off again, and the police chased him down. He's still denying that he stole it. He's kind of claiming that he bought it on Craigslist and that he didn't know it was stolen.
Well,
I think he's kind of surprised to see that he did admit on camera that he knew the bike was stolen.
I suppose he is a little bit surprised right there. All right, well, good for them. All right, they got the bike back, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. All right, now, Morro Bay. If you're we're streaming now, so people anywhere can listen. People in Saudi Arabia and people that I make fun of in the Mideast and tell them they're weird, they can listen. And so, anyway, but the thing is, if you want to go on to Google Earth and look up Morro Bay, California, you'll see what Morro Rock looks like. I mean, how imposing and amazing Morro Rock is. Well, because Jotopia had some ideas for, what should happen in Morro Bay for the different things, and I thought it was very funny. Anyway, so here's some other people that actually, though, wrote in, and he said the feedback was pretty upbeat, and he was really surprised. I'm surprised, too, because people are always mad about everything. You know, so I was sort of surprised, I tell you. But anyway, so that's neat. But so here's some other ideas that people had. Pedestrian plaza. One reader wants to go a step further, improving the Embarcadero by kicking the cars out altogether. Envision an extensive plaza promenade that reaches from Tideland Park to the Rock, complete with small park, lots of seating and biking and walking trails. It's a long way all the way up to the Rock. That's a long way all the way up there. Now, I can see where that, you know, we've talked about Garden Street in San Luis Obispo forever since I've lived here, about making Garden Street, a plaza type thing. Of course, if they're going to do it, now would be the time when they're going to put that new Garden Street project in. They were thinking of doing it. Now's the time to do it. But then, at that point, it becomes less effective because now there'll be fewer businesses, you know, on that side of the street. So at that point, then, does it make any sense to it? Anyway, the point is they're saying, you know, to do this thing. But that's a long way from Tidelands Park to the Rock. And I have to be honest with you, where in the world would people park? I mean, how far away would you have to park? And if you had to park that far away, and you would have to park far away. There's no big lots or anything there's to speak of in Morro Bay. By the time you walked all the way to where you had to walk again, you wouldn't want to walk anymore. So I don't think that would really work. Guys, say for the people of Morro Bay, it'd probably be great. You know, but the people of Morro Bay can't survive on the people of Morro Bay. They survive by all the Fresnodians that come over here. At the base of Morro Rock, another arena envisions greatly expanded use for the area around the rock, including a playground, picnic area, beach volleyball, and more. Seeing as most of the land is now a little more than a dirt habitat for cars and ground squirrels, you know, that's an interesting idea. The problem is, though, and I think other people would attest to this, because it's been what it's been for so long. I don't know how you get rid of all those ground squirrels. You know, there'd be a big to-do about getting rid of the ground squirrels. You'd have to get rid of them because if you're going to eat, they'll be jumping on your table. The seagulls will certainly be aggressive enough to take the food. And the seagulls are, it depends, if they've been around people enough, and they will become aggressive enough to, I mean, they won't kind of walk around the table hoping you'll throw them something. They will land on the table and take it. And I've seen it happen on East Beach in Santa Barbara. Where they actually will, the birds will swoop into a people eating, and take off with a chow. So I'm not sure, I see the point though. I mean, it is kind of a weird dirt area that, you know, nobody uses except the cars. Right. Trail to the top. So here we had the different ideas about the cable car on the top and the trail to the top. I don't know, a trail. It's pretty, kind of steep on the sides there. So the switchback might work, but if you had to build a switchback that you could ascend Morro Rock in at that point, you'd screw it up. There's no question about it. I mean, there's no other way to look at it, in my opinion. All right, and then he had one more idea. He did. I'll find it. Oh, here it is. Summit Adventures. The final idea comes from a reader who literally sees Morro Rock as a jumping-off point for even more dramatic adventures than I could imagine, like using the viewing platform as a launching spot for paragliders. Or connecting the zip line from the peak of the top to the stacks. Here's what he said. This is what he said. He said, I'm all for creative thinking, but let's not get carried away. It might be a bit of a liability and a zip line at the opening of a 450-foot chimney. You think? But they could be modified. You know, they could. The whole idea is, the question is the plant going to stay open anyway? I mean, it's really not open now to speak of. I mean, you know, it's mostly shut down. And here was a story that was kind of, it hit me, and it's one of these little word things, you know, these word things that you get into, because that we have different names for different things, and I wonder how we ever got them, how it started. So we have, they say the drought feeds the wild horse boom. The horses that weren't wild have been released because they couldn't feed them and all that, and they have no food because of the drought, so they just let them go, and the horses team up with the wild horses that are already out there, and they you know, they cop an attitude and become just like them, is really what it comes down to. So that's interesting by itself, I think. But the other thing too is that so it got me to thinking about how we do words. And you're probably saying, so, Bill, what could you think about? You can think about stuff. I'm telling you the truth. So I thought to myself that It was kind of interesting that we used, why do we use the term wild horse and a feral cat? Probably because feral horse doesn't sound fun. You know, that doesn't sound like it's intriguing at all. A feral horse? Wild cat sounds kind of interesting. And actually, feral cats are wild cats, and they are wild, too. They don't like you. They don't want you to touch them. They don't want you to speak to them. They don't want you to handle them. They just don't want you. They don't like regular cats. Phenomena. Hey, we're going to talk about Thunder Over the Valley tomorrow in Santa Maria. That's coming up this weekend. Then we're going to have a guest in, and we're going to talk about that. And that'll be exciting tomorrow because it's a great air show. It's an absolutely fabulous air show in Santa Maria. And if you've never been to it, you really need to give it a shot because it's really, really worthwhile. All right, so we'll get together then tomorrow at noon. Until then, mail your trails. Be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you.
Strutting into town like he's slinging a gun. Just a small town.